Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to yet another episode of the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table is Mary Ann Williams around the table, and those of you who've been listening for a while, you know we just call her Mama around here. So, Mama, how you been this evening?
Oh, I'm just excited and just excited about everything, and you know I have to say good evening, good evening, good evening to my PRF family. So glad that you are continuing coming to the table and listen to the discussions, and just come on in and give us your tell us what you have to say. We want to hear what you have to say, because I know that you have something to say. Amen. And so I'm just excited about the show.
Amen. And for those who this may be your first time at the table, the PRF Table is the number one show on Blog Talk Radio, where we introduce, converse, debate, and learn how to transformatively address these matters in our lives, in individual lives, in the church life, and collectively with for community. But how do we really transform these matters surrounding our possessions, our resources, and our finances? So that's what we talk about every Thursday here on the PRF Table at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And as Mama said, we want you to get involved into the conversation. So what that means is, if you're listening online, and we thank God for all of our online listeners, if you're listening online as we are live on the air right now, all you have to do is dial the telephone number 347-215-7934, which we also give for the benefit of those of you who may be listening to this in the archive. So if you're listening to a future show, then know, or a past show, then know that every week when we come on the air at 8 o'clock live, it is 347-215-7934. If you have a comment or question, just press 1 on your dial pad on your phone, and we'll see you light up on the switchboard. It will bring you into the conversation, because it's not about what we have to say. It's what God is trying to say through all of us. So, Mama, Mama was sharing something with me before we dropped on the air this evening. And if you were with us last week, we were just it was just laid on my heart to really start talking about or go back to, because, you know, it comes up frequently, but just really being intentional about the transformation piece with all of this, right? And one of the things that God brought back to my remembrance was, you know, the conceptual framework for PRF is dealing with conflict transformation, and I won't bore you right now with the definition, but the first thing is, you have to understand what conflict is, to understand what conflict transformation is. We kind of know what transformation is. We've heard the word, we think we know what it is, but you have to understand what conflict is. And conflict is nothing more than a clash of ideas or thoughts. Right. So is what I'm thinking, if what I'm thinking is opposed to what you're thinking, that's conflict. It doesn't have to be just this big old kaboom, like an atom bomb or anything like that. It could be just, you know what, I don't want to have a conversation with my husband about this situation, because every time we talk about money, it gets into an argument. Well, the conflict is not about you talking. The conflict is, there's some behaviors that your husband is doing, and those things have to be dealt with. Why is that behavior there? And so what we did was, we just talked about, I gave an example of a situation that had occurred, and it was really about the conversation, or the conflict, if you will, that happened with the conversation. And as I told y'all last week, all I did was just gave you just the basics of it. So just Mama, if you want to summarize, or if you want to give a little bit about what it was and what that did for you and where you're at, by all means, we turn the mic over to you this evening.
All right, thank you, and good evening again, everyone. It was the story was that it was a family, and the husband had a job, and I think it was about two children involved, and the wife, and then he lost his job. And then, just to make a long story short, you know, he went to the church for help, and he, you know, he went through some difficult situations because he thought that he could go to the church and get some help. So it was so many steps. It seemed as though he had to go to, you know, he had to go to the pastor. Well, he went to the pastor, and then the pastor passed him down to the deacon, and so forth and so on. And what touched me was that when we were talking about last week, we were talking about we don't know what people are going through if we don't ask. And do we have the courage to ask?
Mm-hmm.
That people that's in situations, do we have the courage to ask? And maybe, this is my opinion, maybe we don't ask because if we're thinking that, you know, they need to be saved. And if they get saved, then, you know, God will do all this for them. And we know ourselves that's just not a true statement. You know, because we get saved and give our Lord, and, you know, accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior does not mean that it's a sugar daddy. He's going to be our sugar daddy. You know, he says we're going to have our trials and tribulations. And so as we're having our trials and tribulations and we look at people and see them in these situations and we don't know what's going on, the first thing comes to our mind sometimes, not everybody's mind, but sometimes, you know, well, you know, maybe they need to go to church. So we don't ask, and then we assume. And what was in my mind was that about brothers and sisters that we do know go to church with us and everything, and family and everything's doing well in the Lord and everything, so to speak, but then they backslide. And then we, their brothers and sisters, know this. And so the first thing, and I know what I've heard over the years, if they hadn't backslidden, this wouldn't happen. Now, how do we know that? We haven't even, is that really important when we see that someone has a need? Because we're supposed to be loved. And we should, and you know, Jesus loved us, and he asked people, "What can I do for you?" You know, he asked the lady at the well. You know, he's talking to her, which he should not have been talking to her because he was of another race, and especially during the day, you know. But he looked beyond all her faults. He looked beyond Mary Magdalene's fault. He looked beyond and saw they had a need. And that's the compassion and love, because he loves unconditional. So we seem as though love to some of us is when you're doing well, that's fine. You know, what can I do for you? Because sometimes there's a motive there. But when you're not doing well, you have had to do something wrong. And again, I thought about the example of the child that was born blind. The first thing they said to him is, "What did the parents do?" And so it's just an example right there to show the mindset of some of us, you know. And then I started thinking about going back to the question. Once we ask them the question, what is our motive for asking them? We have the courage to ask them now, and we should be asking because we want to see what we can do for them. But what is our motive? Are we asking because we really don't want to help them, really, but we want to know what's going on so we have something to gossip about. And so our motive, you know, as PRF family, is to want to help them in spite of what's going on. Because you can look at someone, as you've often said, you sit in church and, you know, you see the children don't have, you can just see the clothes they wear. You can see the clothes the parents, you can know they're struggling. So you know in your spirit something's wrong. So I should ask, you know, how are you doing? Sometimes you have to get a relationship with a person first. You know what I mean? Because you don't know what they've been through with people. But they have to feel that you love and that you care for them. And in this story about the young man, he kept going. He kept going back because although things could have been done better for him, he did. He had to feel some that they cared about him. And so, to me, we as a PRF family is to love them, love the people, like the way that God loves us in spite of all our craziness, you know. And he says he thinks no evil of us. So we want to get our mind in a position that I'm not going to be thinking evil of anyone. I'm not going to be judging anyone by what I see. And I don't care what I heard. I want to help. Because, and some of us have been where those people have been that we're looking at and judging. And God has helped us to get to another level. And we can't forget where God brought us from, because we are to share. And this is then the PRF family, and the theme here is to share. And like Peter said, I don't have money, but he had the word. So I may not have, I don't have the money, but I can sure see if I can, you know, help somebody and share this knowledge that has been given to me. Amen. Amen.
Mama, you said a mouthful. One of the things that maybe I'll piggyback off of that you said was about we don't ask. And I don't know if, well, let me say it like this. I do remember you saying that, you know, you spoke from your context and from what you've seen. And I just believe that there's a lot of other people who will say, especially being clergy, right? There's a lot of people that are going through things that don't ask us. They don't bring things to us. And so you kind of brought that up as, you know, we don't ask what's going on with them. But what I'm seeing is that it's really a two-way street. When are we asking those of us? Mm. I mean, let's be honest. Mm. We're not saying that everybody out there needs to be asking everybody what's going on. That's not it. I mean, there's no basis, no justification, there's no biblical foundation to say that everybody's supposed to be asking about everybody else. No. But if the Spirit is leading you to ask about somebody or to ask what's going on, or if you have a platform like this or others that I have at my disposal, I can ask that question out loud. And see what the response is going to be and see if anybody decides to say, you know what? Since you asked, and I remember saying a long time ago, and I haven't brought it up in a while, but one of the worst questions that you can ask somebody is, how you doing? How you doing? How are you? That's one of the worst questions that we can ask collectively as people in society. Forget religion, just collectively, mm-hmm. because more often than not, when that question is asked, it's asked from the perspective of people saying it on the go.
Yes.
And so saying it on the go is you get up to get ready to go to work, family sitting there at the dinner, at the breakfast table eating breakfast, and you ask, son, how you doing? Baby, how you doing? Daughter, how you doing? And then you go ahead and you leave. They know that daddy got to walk out the door at 7:55 to get to work by 8:15. So when daddy says that question at 7:52, as he's fixing his orange juice to get ready to take it with him to go out the door, everybody knows, I can't get into nothing right now with dad. Not right now. So the question becomes a question of ill effect. And it doesn't give the opportunity for people to respond. Just like walking down the street or walking in the halls at work or let's be real, even at church. One of the worst questions you can ask somebody in church is, how you doing? Because, oh, we got to sit down because it's time for the word, time for the message. Oh, we got to sit down because they're about to start praise and worship.
Yes.
Okay. Take your tail outside to the vestibule. Somebody has something on their heart that they want to get out.
Yes.
Too many people are sitting there with things going on in their lives, especially in the matters of PRF, are sitting there, are among us, that don't feel, and this is one of the part of the definition, part of the definition of conflict transformation is to create, to seek and create safe environments, to seek and create that safe space. So if the space that we're in is not safe, if I know that I'm going to, if I know that when I ask the question at church, we're really not going to do anything because all we're here for are really for church. And it has to happen within the church religious setting of what the church service looks like. I'm not going to bring it to you. If the messages keep coming out and bashing folk that are irresponsible with finances, but you know what? Some folk are irresponsible with their finances because they've never been taught.
Right. That's
so how the heck can we get on anybody for being irresponsible when it comes to managing their finances? They've never been taught how to manage their finances. You can be 50 years old and be irresponsible with your finances.
Amen.
Because you've never been taught.
Amen.
Yeah. And or you can be 25 years old, you could have been raised in a church, and you could be irresponsible with your finances because of how you have been taught. Mm-hmm. You could have been taught to be greedy. You could have been taught as a white person not to give anything to a black person. You could have been taught as a black person not to spend any money outside of the black community. You could have been taught some of those things. So, again, going back to what you were saying is, you know, just, again, piggybacking off of what you said, this whole thing about asking is communication. It's a communication word. And the way that you brought it up, it's two-way. It's a two-way street. We, those of us who God has called in this area of PRF, or in other areas of service and ministry, we have to be sensitive enough to the Spirit of God so that we ask, man, you know what? What's going on with you? I saw you at the title pawn place. Now, I'm not trying to get all in your business, but I'm trying to get into your business. So can I ask some questions to understand what's going on, to see if there's something that I could possibly do? Don't know what I can do, especially when I don't know what's going on. That's why I did ask. Something happened today I thought was amazing. I had one of my former seminarians at sent me a message to call, and I called her this afternoon, and she was talking about how she had two job offers on the table. And this is maybe a month or two ago. And one was something that she really didn't want to do, but she knew she had to do something, right? Because of just graduating from seminary. And then the other one was like, man, it was a teaching position. It was a new school for boys, young boys, I think fifth or sixth graders. Great opportunity. Tell me how, you know, some things kind of just went haywire and the school did not go as planned starting off. So instead of having X amount of students starting off, they have only three. And so they went and the school was started by this brother who also happens to be a pastor. So she shared a couple of things. I won't say them on the air, but she shared a couple of things, and I was like, whoa. And two of the teachers, now there's three teachers including her, two of the teachers, both of those were men. They walked out when the president of the school, who, you know, the pastor, who, you know, the creator of the school, the visionary, if you will, had to tell them that close the school. So of course they didn't get as many students as they wanted to, when, you know, students would have generated revenue because of tuition. But the other part was, you know, you got to pay the teachers. And so now you got, you know, it's kind of like up in the air. Like, whoa, if we get ready to close the school. So they left. You know, they left, which, you know, you can understand that, especially if you've got a family. You know, I'm not going to wait until the last day knowing we ain't got no money coming in here, ain't no more students, and the school year already started.
Amen.
And so as I started asking certain things, right? So I asked the question. I said, well, are y'all in a building somewhere? You know, is it, you know, a lot of overhead? No, the church absorbs, you know, pretty much everything, and it's on the property of the church. I'm like, okay, cool. And I was like, well, you said there were three teachers, but now there are only two. I mean, now they're only one because two left. She said, yeah. So she told me how much tuition was, and I was like, okay. And I said, well, really, I really don't see a problem. Because with the tuition that's coming in, what that means is that tuition money goes to the one teacher, which is you. And what this brother has to do is get out there and grind and get the other funds so they can continue to operate. And I was like, man, let me talk to this brother. I said, let me talk to this guy. I was like, I ain't even feeling that. I mean, it was just, you know, some stuff ain't got to be super spiritual, mama. It just was so clear. It was like, nah, this ain't. And, you know, she was like, you know, I don't want to leave. She's like, the teachers, the parents are not having it. The parents are saying, well, what else do we need to do to keep this going? Now, let me tell you, the tuition that this brother, you know, is charging for the school, for the students, it is very, very inexpensive. And maybe because of the demographics or whatever, I don't know. But you're not going to pay that amount of tuition for a private school in the Atlanta area. Just ain't going to happen. Just not going to happen. Not for that amount that she gave to me. So I was like, well, see, like, again, if he gets out there and he grinds. And then she told me, you know, as I'm asking questions and she's asking me things, one of the things that she told me was that, you know, the sponsorship didn't come through. So people who said they were going to give, people said they were going to sponsor, whatever organization or business said they were sponsor, right? The number one sponsor, I thought that they had said no. But as I kept asking and we kept talking, we wound up finding out that the scholarship award that they were giving to the school had just not been processed all the way yet. So it's still pending. But it's not a no. It's just not there yet. And I said, I ain't got no problem. I said, it just sounds like there's just a thing of faith right now with this brother. And I understand, you know, you got to watch folk walk out on you. You know, I understand what that feels like. Then you don't have the funds coming in you thought they were going to, that should be coming in. I understand what that feels like. So as we were talking, I had to get on the 4 o'clock show today. It probably was like 10 minutes or quarter till. And he walked in because she was at the school. And she said, this is Donnelly. We went to seminary together. And he graduated from the same seminary. Right. And I didn't know him. Don't know him, of course. And I just gave him what I really had in my heart. And he said this to me. He said, I said, I'm going on the air in about 15 minutes. So I said, right now, you know, I just don't have time for us to get to know each other. I just got to say what I need to say. You know what I'm saying? That's it. I just need to say what's on, you know?
Yeah.
And we talked, and he said, man, he said, brother, da-da-da-da-da. And here's the thing I will share that he shared with me. He said, when I asked him, I said, from what she was telling me, the teachers are not hearing it. And she's not hearing it. He said, yeah. He said, hey, they're not giving it up. I said, okay, so you got people that are down with you, ready to ride with you. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I told him. You know, ain't no problem. I don't see a problem. You know, you just got to get out there and grind. And then I said, did God give you this vision, or is it something that you decided that you wanted to do? He said, God gave him the vision. Okay, God gave you the vision, and this is when it was supposed to be, in the fall of this year. Oh, it's going to come. When she told me that the funds were pending, I told her straight up, if you want to shut down, let that pending funds just roll over to PRF, and we'll be glad to pick them up for you. Because if you shut down, those funds ain't coming to you. Those funds going to stay right there. And I said that in jest, but one of the things that he said was, he said, you know what? I've been asking God to send me an outside confirmation all day today.
Mm-hmm.
All day. And he said, now I got it. And so, again, we talked about one story last week. Here's another story. The whole thing was, it was about his faith. His faith was shook, right? He was just, and so many of us, have been there. Where distrusting God for the provisions is tough.
Yes.
But if God had told him, as God told him, this is what's supposed to happen, I said, brother, just hold on. I said, we're going to make this work. And trust me, it's not going to be a whole lot more to make it work, especially when you don't have all these other expenses. If you have to, like, I was thinking you had equipment, you rented things, you know, you just purchased furniture on credit, you know, got into a lease for 5 years. Ain't got none of that stuff. Man, keep rolling. And the kids, the response they talked about with the kids, unbelievable. Because they're like, well, you know what? Teacher such and such say they're going on vacation, but we kind of know. These sixth graders, they ain't stupid. They ain't stupid. You don't just start the school year and go on vacation. Sixth graders know better than that. One of the things that just touched my heart was when they told them, I think yesterday or the day before yesterday, that they may have to close the school on Friday. He said the student said, well, can we have chapel today? What? So God is all in the mix in that. And see, sometimes it takes somebody asking certain questions about the situation, even when you're bringing stuff to somebody. It has to be conversation. I venture to say that what we dealt with was we dealt with conflict, a clashing of ideas. He thinking, no, man, I need to let this go. The other clashing of ideas against that was, this is what you said. We got our kids in here. The school year already started. What's the change? They're seeing change in the kids already. And forget the number, they're seeing changes in children. And you got parents that are actively wanting to be part of it. Man, I would love for that to be, it would not be no problem if that became a graduating class of what, you know, 2014, I don't know, of three people that parents have been engaged through their whole life and they get that personal attention. Because the opposite is, well, you know, nobody's paying attention to my kid. Nobody's called a PTA. I say all that because, again, we have to be willing to ask questions when people are bringing things to us, not just giving them the answer all the time. Let's talk about it. Let's figure out where the conflict is in this whole matter. This was a prime example of PRF. This is a prime example of something real happening in somebody's life. And how many people were affected by this one thing of this school? You had her being affected. I may not have a job come next week. You had him being affected. You can imagine all the emotions that's going through him about, man, I just started this thing and I did this for God and now I'm about to shut it down. You got the children that are affected. You got the parents that are affected. Now the parents, if they were going to shut it down, got to go try to find somewhere else. Well, the school year had already started. You already 2-3 weeks in, some already a month into it. And now we got to put them back in the public school, which I'm not saying anything's wrong with the public school, but if they wanted them in public school, they would have had them in public school from the beginning. So then they were looking for something different.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So we got these situations that are going on in people's lives, and if we're willing to sometimes just talk about what's going on, just talk about. I can't wait to just continue to hear what God does at that school. And with those young boys, sixth graders, they're at a crucial age.
Yes.
So another thing I'll say, Mama, is when you talked about what is our motive for asking? See, when I asked, it wasn't anything of a selfish motive. Nothing. It was my motive for asking, if I had to look back and say anything about a motive, was I hear God in this. Can't let this go. Can't let this go. I hear God in this. We can't let this go. And here's the deal. I ain't never met this brother. Don't know if I believe we'll meet in the future, but never met him. Can't even tell you what his name is right now. But sometimes that's just how God does things.
God does what
God wants to do. And what we saw today What I'm communicating to you and what I witnessed, myself, young lady, and also this pastor, was transformation, all in the mix of dealing with the conflict. I didn't throw $400,000 at him. It's going to be all right. Well, just keep praying. Let's just talk about it. Find out where your head at.
Yeah.
Let me also hear your spirit as you talk about where your head is at. Because, see, we can't take away where your head is at when you're going through things regarding your PRF.
Man.
Where my head is makes a difference. If I'm just like, oh, the heck with it. My head is, that's where my head is. I don't want to deal with it no more. Well, what's your spirit saying, man? I probably need to, I need to stick it out. Okay, so now what you're really saying is your mind is trying to override your spirit. And the spirit that you have is of God, but there's a conflict between your mind, probably your flesh, because your flesh don't want to deal with this and want it to be the easier route.
Yeah.
So again, what is our motive for asking? And that has to be when we're trying to help people. If we're deciding that this is supposed to be somebody who I'm supposed to be dealing with in this area. And oh my goodness, look at this Holy Spirit. Even from a position of being a pastor, what is your motive for asking folk? Where y'all at? Is it because you want to see where the people are at so that they can give more to the church? Or you're really genuinely concerned about where they're at so that if there's some that are not at the place where they really want to be or could be or should be, then we need to know that, know where it is and where is what, and you know what's what, so we can go ahead and get Dr. Dunlap in here in the PRF ministry so they can start teaching on that particular area. There's reasons why we ask the various questions that we ask on our financial ministry needs assessment, not just for just, we're just not asking questions just to ask them. We're asking because the question, and you're honest enough to give the answer, then we know where we're starting from.
Yeah.
We gotta have these conversations, so we kind of understand where we're going to start this thing at. Where we're going to start this conversation at. So, I think you brought up some very good points, Mom, in this first half hour. Very good points. You know, one, we don't ask. I may try to hope to post that in a few. You know, we don't ask. You know, and then what is our motive for asking? And what I'll also throw to this, what you said about we don't ask, I don't know if that could be a validated statement that we don't ask. So we may want to say it a little bit different. Are we asking? See, instead of saying we don't ask because we don't know who's asking or who's not, are we asking?
Oh,
right?
Asking.
If sister such and such is was going to church all the time and just you always see sister such and such going up with the offering plate, you know, going to put something in the offering plate, then you notice that because you sit next to sister such and such, right? You ain't just scoping out folk during the offering time, but you just sit next to her or him.
Yes.
And you notice that they don't get up to go put anything into the offering plate. You know, maybe not right now, but what about, are we asking? Hey,
yeah.
Do you need, you know, would you like something, you know, to put in the offering plate?
Yeah.
You ain't got to ask them why they didn't put, again, we're talking about conversation. Why ain't you ain't got nothing to put in the offering plate? See, you want to talk about it, you ain't got nothing. You know?
Yes.
Is this something that, you know, if you would like to put something in the offering plate, you know, I got a couple dollars, or, you know, you let me know how much it is, you know, you would like to give, I'll write a check out for you. Or no, I'm good. I gave my tithes at the beginning of the month. Oh, okay. So, okay. You know what I'm saying? You may get something, it may be where it's not even a big issue.
Right.
But if you don't ask. If you don't ask, then you just say, doggone. You know? Man, she. I wonder what's going on with her. Nah, not loving your neighbor as yourself. That ain't how we supposed to come at folks. You know what I'm saying?
And And may I add something to that? When I was in Florida and I was by myself, and, you know, I went to the church and, you know, I had a talk with the pastor. I was explaining to him my situation, and I was telling him, you know, that I'm here and I don't have a job. And I said, and we talked about those things. Well, when we got to church, pastor had said, Sister Barnett want to pay her tithes and offerings, so would you help? I never had so much money coming to me. It was just a move of God. I mean, people just got up and started just giving me money, giving me money, giving me money. I mean, it was like, wow, you know? That was such an experience, you know? It was just such an experience. It was just like, wow. I mean, the people didn't have a problem, and they didn't even really know me. But they didn't have a problem in helping me.
Mm-hmm.
See? I tell you, that was something. And, you know, after it said that, I said, boy, I could, maybe all that wasn't for the tithes and offerings.
No.
You know? But, see, I was moving in the spirit. And it was just, it was just, all I could do is just receive it. And then I took it up and put it in the plate. That's the kind of God we serve. Oh, I tell you. He demonstrates to us who he is. He demonstrates us the power that he has. And he allowed me to say, you can't do anything without me. But I told you, I'll never leave you nor forsake. I'll be with you. But see, had I got down there and got depressed and said, I don't feel like going to no church, look at the blessing I would have missed. Staying home being depressed because I had a situation. I just got up and just went right on to church, and I walked there too. So it just shows, you know, he shows, as I said, God shows up and shows out, and he gives us more than enough. When he blesses us, we have more than enough. And I felt so good because I was just so upset within myself because I couldn't pay tithes and offerings. You know, it really bothered me, you know.
And
then so God just showed me, you know, his power. And it wasn't about the money. He was showing me. For me, it was like, you can't do nothing without me. You know?
Oh, man. I'm going to take it somewhere. You said something that I think is key. You said, God says, I will be with you, right? And I believe, you know, I think you were just making the statement that, you know, God will be with us, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
So
I feel so lonely.
I thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, you keep that one. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to change those four words in that sentence.
Okay.
You said, I'll be with you. You know, you said, God says, you know, this is God. I'll be with you. That's what you hear.
Yes.
Well, here's what I hear.
Okay.
I don't hear, I'll be with you from God.
Okay.
What I hear is, I'll be, say, parentheses or close brackets, I'll be in the midst with you.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's good. I like that.
I think that
hallelujah.
Adds
hallelujah.
Something
hallelujah.
More to it.
Oof, thank you, Jesus.
There's some people who believe the word when God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes.
Okay, God says it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, although God never leaves us, or we believe that he never leaves us or forsakes us, God can never leave the space that we occupy because it's already his. Every space of my house is occupied, so he can't leave us. But what God can do is he can remove his hand or protection from us. He can close his ears to us.
Yes.
So when folks say, oh, God's always with you, he's always with you. But that don't mean, how many people live in houses with folk that they don't even talk to? Y'all in the same house.
Yeah.
They ain't talking.
Yes.
Married folks
yes.
do that from time to time. Yeah, I hear you. Let me draw this line in the middle of the bed. I don't even want you near me, you know. You know, I'm not saying God, but God does not always respond, especially responding all the time when we want to. So I think that's really important.
Okay.
And here's how I will continue on with this. I'll be with you versus I'll be in the midst with
you. Okay.
See, I want God to be
good.
In the
like
midst.
It.
But we don't want to take that, right? We don't want to take that to the extreme, if you will,
mm-hmm.
where you're not dealing with or recognizing or embracing the power of community.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
See, when we were talking last week
yes,
about
yes.
The conflict in this conversation, what I was capturing, if you heard me, was there's something about the power of community.
Yes.
It was the power of community that led this brother to Christ, even though it seemed like it was forced, truthfully, you know. It was still the power of community. It was, you know, keep bringing them to church, keep asking them to come 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 to church, ask them to church. Then eventually, okay, I'm coming to church. All right, now I need to come on Wednesday. All right, I need to get baptized. Matter of fact, we're going to do that next Sunday. Huh? Good gracious, man, this stuff moving faster than lightning. But that was the power of that community. That was, you know, that was influential. And so if we can do and be influential in that area of leading somebody to Christ, right, whether you have them recite Romans 10, 9, and 10, regardless of which way you do it, let me, you know, offer this prayer or say these words or repeat this, however you do it. If we can spend that energy in that area, then I just believe that we can spend even more energy in the area of PRF, because after people get saved, then there's something else. We may come back to that score maybe next week, Mama, but right now I just feel the need to shift over to Acts chapter 2, because we are really talking about community right now. That's just where the Spirit led this conversation. And so the power of community is really illustrated in our two texts, foundational scriptures, right, for PRF, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, and Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. We see in Acts chapter 2 where all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in the meals, including the Lord's Supper and the prayer. A deep sense, and then it says in verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all. See, there's something about that word awe. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and shared their money, finances, with all those who had need. They worshiped together in the temple every day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I just want to believe that this whole, the last part of that verse in 47, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. He added to. How was the added to? How did that come up? It came up because there were people who saw what the people of God were doing, what the believers were doing, even though they weren't called Christians at this time. They were just believers. Mm-hmm. Believers is what they were called, and that's what they were, believers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So people were being saved based upon what they saw and what they witnessed from the believers.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I preached last Sunday. I preached last Sunday. I was preaching. I said this. I said, in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus said, you should be witnesses unto me, unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And then I went on and I talked about when Peter stood up after the Holy Spirit came, and Peter stood up with the other 11, and he starts speaking to them. In the last days, remember that? I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Goes on and starts talking about them. And people of Israel, listen. People of Israel, listen. You know, God had purpose. He publicly, he's the one who endorsed Jesus, his Nazarene. He goes on and talks about David and goes on and says all these things. And then in verse 37, verse 36, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus. So you ain't got to worry. No, y'all, I understand y'all may not understand this right now, but I'm telling you, he's the one who made this Jesus, whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah. God chose for the Lord to be Lord and Messiah. Verse 37 is the key part, though. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? I've been thinking about preaching that. I don't know where, mama. Brothers, brothers and sisters, what shall we do? And as a sub, and probably as a subtext or a subtitle is, what you gonna do? What y'all gonna do? It's real simple. See, here's what I was telling them. I said, when they asked the question because their hearts were pierced at the words that were given through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was directing what was guiding Peter, if you will, in what to say to these people. And as he said that, that's when the words, it pierced their hearts. And then they said, goes back to what you were talking about, right, mama? Asking. They asked the question, what should we do? And then Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of it. The promise is for you and your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. See, that's going to mess up some folk right there. Because it wasn't the benediction that came right then.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, that was it. He continued to go for a long time. And then it says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000. See, there has to be a response that comes once the word of God is going out. And then I said this last Sunday, and my wife, you know, she's going to laugh when I say it because she heard it. If there's no response to what we're doing, whether it's on the PRF table or whether somebody's preaching, or if there's no response, I said, I question what in the world you've been doing for the last 15 years every Sunday for 45 minutes to an hour. If ain't nobody responding, what are you doing? Don't blame it on them. What are you doing? See, we got to evaluate ourselves, especially those who God has given this gift, whether it's preaching or teaching or whatever, to stand before God's people and proclaim and to encourage and to correct, however it is. But if you ain't getting no response, I ain't talking about, you know, folk got to join the church. I'm talking about, no, what's piercing your heart? I challenge every pastor. I challenge every pastor. As you sit in the back of the church, right, as the service is over, you shake people's hands. Ask a question next time you preach on Sunday. Here's one from my pastor friends. When you sit in the back of the church and everybody's shaking your hands, and I want you to ask them. Don't let them tell you. Go message, pastor, good message. Or preacher, I want you to ask them a question. What pierced your heart? Not was it, because if y'all say was your heart pierced, you can say yes or no. I want to know what it was. Because, see, that's going to evoke a dialogue unlike any other. And, yes, that line getting out of the church may be a little long, stay a little bit longer. There may be some folk that may just get out the line and walk around. But that's the type of thing that we have to have this. And guess what? It doesn't have to be just the pastor.
Yes.
You got all these deacons and everybody else and other ministers. We can be asking that question. What pierced your heart? I promise you, I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try to do it.
I like that.
What pierced your heart?
Ooh,
because like as we've labored so long, Mama on the radio, as we labored doing workshops all over the place, these learning sessions that God has given us, I'm not concerned about attendance. I'm concerned about, did your heart get pierced? Did your heart get pierced for you if credit is your issue? Did your heart get pierced by what we talked about for you to go and check your credit report? Instead of waiting until you want to go buy a car. Did your heart get pierced when your daddy died? And didn't leave you a will. Didn't leave a will. And all hell done broke loose in the family. And you say, you know what? I'll be doggone if this happened to my household. As for me in this house, my folk ain't going to go through this.
Mm.
Is your heart going? Does your heart get pierced when you see a GoFundMe account? To say, you know what? Man, I can't let that be my picture up there. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the response. What is God saying? And I tell you, this whole, oh my goodness, this whole thing in this Acts chapter 2, you have to know that everything was spirit-led. But one of the things that man, look at what time it is. One of the things that can really mess folk up is this, Mama.
Yes.
When you read the text, I think people read the text and only get excited for the length at a time that it takes them to read the text and expects things to happen in that length of time that it took you to read those couple of verses. Because when you read this, you say you have to have a concept of time. All the believers devoted themselves. Devoted, not did a devotion one time. They devoted themselves. So that's an action, a continuous action to the teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to sharing in meals. They devoted themselves to prayer. So I don't think a lot of folk in that context. They devoted themselves to all of those things. See, it's a difference between devoting yourselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the sharing of meals, which include the Lord's Supper, and to the prayer. It's a difference between devoting yourselves individually to those things versus just devoting yourselves to the teaching and then having fellowship and having some meals and saying some prayers. I can say a prayer but not be devoted to prayer. I can come to church with you next Sunday and have the Lord's Supper with you, but that doesn't mean I'm devoted to it. And I just believe that God is speaking to a whole bunch of people that are listening and that may listen later on. Look, regarding your possession, resource, and finance, I need you to be devoted to whatever area of PRF that needs some help. You got to be devoted to the process of putting a will together. Got to be devoted to the process of cleaning up, having your credit restored to the place where God wants it to be restored to, or building it up. You have to be devoted to stewardship. Can't just take care of something one time.
Yes.
And call yourself devoted to it? Nah. When I open up your car, I'm going to see how undevoted you are. The inscription above Acts chapter 2, verse 42, particularly in my Bible, the one that I use more often, says, believers, the believers, form a community. So we're talking about community. And you know what? I don't care. I'm going to continue to talk about community because that's what God has put inside of me. And that's what he's shown me from what we say is the early church. Well, if the early church was about community, then I'm going to keep preaching and teaching on what we need to do to bring ourselves to a place of community. It didn't say the believers formed a church. And I recognize man decided what inscription to place upon, you know, this particular passage. But he didn't say the believers form a church. He said they form a community. Mm. And see, again, understand everything in context. When you take Acts 42 to 47, this is good. It's wow. I never thought about this before. Or maybe it never came to me. What community are they talking about between verses 42 to 47? Can I share with you what community it is? If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, do you recall who all was there during this time? Remember, they were there for Pentecost. And they had a whole bunch of people who heard the apostles and those other, well, you know, a total of 120 or 124 that was in the upper room speaking in their languages. So if you go back to verse 9, when they say, here we are, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both the Jews and converts to Judaism, the Cretans and Arabs. So all of those individuals, let me ask a question. Do you think that it was only the Egyptians that formed this community? Do you think that it was only those from Mesopotamia that formed this community in 42 to 47? Or was it everybody? See, we can't be concerned that it's only about me and my individual church. If the Spirit is just only about me and my individual church, that is a lack of understanding of Acts 42 to 47. And I've said it so many times. If you don't need nothing in your church, don't ask me to buy no ad. Don't ask me to buy no fish plate, no chicken dinner. Don't ask me to give no offering to any of this other stuff that you have going on. If everything can be self-contained within your own church, and that's what your community is, you wash your own cars for your own members. You don't come and don't waste my time asking me when you see me at Walmart because y'all out there in front of Walmart trying to get from the community. No, you're either going to have it one way or the other. If people's mindsets, especially leaders, understood that this thing of community has almost nothing to do with your individual house. This thing of community has so less to do with PRF. As if it's only about this ministry. No. PRF is nothing by itself. Zero.
Amen.
It takes the community to make PRF what it is. Whether it's the community on the 7,000-some folk that's listening every Thursday between these two shows, that
Amen.
Community, which I don't see, can't see who they are because they're listening on the radio, or whether it's those here on Blog Talk that are listening, or those who listen afterwards, after the show goes off because they can't be here at 8, so they listen on their way to work or during lunchtime on the following day. I'm telling you, Mama, I'm about done. But we must take a very good look. What's the community? What's the makeup of the community? What's the makeup of the community? Oh, let me go here. So let's look at this whole thing with verse 45. Sometimes we don't want to deal with that, but or I won't say we. Sometimes I don't. I just there's so many things that I read that I just a lot of times don't hear or have not heard, and it just sticks with me, and I just beat it. I beat it to life.
Yeah.
Not to death. I beat it to life. If you look at verse 45, they sold their property and possessions. Their property are resources. Their possessions are possessions. Now, they sold their property and possessions, meaning those who had sold what they had, and they shared the money with those who had need.
Amen.
In order to sell property, Mama, in order to sell possessions, it's not difficult. You got to have it. You can't sell nothing legally that ain't yours. So you can't sell property that's not yours unless you own it. You can't sell possessions legally unless it's your possessions. So that means those who had sold what they had to give to those who had it not. I've heard it one time. Somebody said, he has it not. I have it for him. So if we're talking about we are a community, then there shouldn't be a whole bunch of people struggling when those in the same, see, if you want to go with this whole thing about your individual church, bam, here you go. So those of you who have inside of your individual church, and you got some who are have not inside your individual church who are in need. If you are community, like you say, I just want to know how the needs are being met. That's all I want to know. How the needs being met. That's it. I ain't at nobody. I'm just saying, either we're going to do it or we're not going to do it. And maybe that's why there's not a million folks right now that's connected to PRF. Maybe that's why it's not a million right now. Because people got to get some things in their spirit. See, you have to get this in your spirit. The spirit has to lead you in this first. None of this, they didn't get to this point except by the spirit. The spirit started off in Acts chapter 2, at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, which was what Jesus said he needed them to do. I need you to stand there, get in position, and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And then the Spirit came. And then the Spirit moved in those Peter and those other 11 apostles. And then the Spirit moved in them for them to say, their hearts were pierced, but brothers, what shall we do? The Spirit continued to move with Peter, telling them what they needed to do, repent and be baptized. That was the response that had to come from what they were asking. For us, it may be a little bit different. Dr. Dunlap, what do I need to do? When's the last time you checked your credit report? We do these assessments all the time. We got plenty of them. I'm looking at so many of them right now. Folks, they ain't never checked their credit report in over a year. Okay. I surely hope your car don't break down and you got to go and buy another car. That ain't the time to try to get your credit straight. There's a group of individuals that I'm dealing with right now, and it's really about to go down at a certain place, because a whole bunch of people had a lot of warning about their credit, and now folk are nervous. They're nervous right now, Mama.
Yeah.
They've had 5 years to work on their credit. 5 years. Talk to creditors. Don't get nervous now. And don't try to pimp God. Oh, God, I need you to come through because the truth of the matter is, God will shut that up.
Yeah.
He does have a way of closing and shutting down things. God's people don't want to do what he's already letting them know, look, you need to take care of this. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. I just put that out to everybody and say, just meditate on that. Meditate on that all week. Verse 45 is it gets so overlooked. It gets so glazed over from a traditional, whatever that means, church setting. But from a kingdom perspective, from a kingdom mindset, it ain't hard. Not from a kingdom mindset. So my prayer is that the Lord gives people the mindset of the kingdom versus a church or a religious or even a non-religious mindset, so that Romans 12, 1 and 2 can actually really come to life in people's lives. Because it's all about transformation. So With that, Mama, that's all I have for this evening. I got about 5 hours of work to do in 3 hours, so we're going to see after I get off the air how diligent we're going to happen. Where my community at? I need y'all to do some of this work for me. Some of these reports. But it's been good, Mama. You have any final words, Mama, you like to say before we shut down for the night?
No. Mm-mm.
All right. Well, look, everybody, we just thank you for being with us, those who are listening. Again, we invite everybody to go out to our Facebook page, which is PRF Teaching Ministry, or facebook.com/PRF. Please visit our website. Our website is prfministry.org. And you'll see everything that you need to see about what we have going on, where we have learning sessions that are coming up in the future. And we just encourage you, you know, get with the leadership of your various churches and let them know about PRF. Let them know if this is something that you think will really benefit not just you as an individual, but will benefit those of your brothers and sisters who you see all the time at church, or those who you know may have fallen by the wayside and said, you know what, I'm kind of done with church because I got some needs. I'm trying to get met, and the church is not dealing with this. Community needs it. It's not just the church, but community needs it. And we know we have enough data and we have enough conversations with individuals and enough dialogues with enough individuals to know that it is highly, highly needed. So with that, we're going to say good night. We will see you next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and have a blessed day. A blessed evening. I have to say blessed day and evening because we all know we got some folks listening for overseas. All right, Mama.
Hey, good night.
Good night, Mama.